Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
About one-fourth of U.S. service members and veterans who start psychotherapy for post-traumatic stress disorder quit before they finish treatment. What's the story behind the dropout rate? InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey has the details. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Our guest is Elizabeth Penick Smith, Ph.D. She's a licensed clinical psychologist at Idaho State University and a National Research Council Fellow at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research. Professor, let's start with just a broad view of veterans, PTSD, and mental health in general, and the scope of the problem today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here. And I'm obligated anytime my Walter Reed affiliation is mentioned that I don't speak on behalf of the Department of War and can't release information that will harm service members. So there's a lot of potential experiences that could cause trauma or post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms in veterans, ranging from combat experiences to maybe they've been assaulted during their time in service to maybe things that they've experienced from their childhood. So there's a lot of differences in studies that look at how frequently PTSD occurs in veterans, but usually some of those estimates are between 7 and 11% for military populations.
What does dropping out of PTSD treatment actually mean, and why is that such a serious concern?
We use dropout to refer when you maybe start therapy and you're making no progress, or maybe you're not feeling better, your symptoms aren't getting better, and you end up discontinuing that treatment with that therapist before those goals are met and before you fully recover.
How long does treatment typically last?
That can range depending on the type of therapy. So some more structured treatments for PTSD are more like 8 to 12 sessions, but there are also shorter versions of those treatments, and there are also much longer and more intensive ones.
Your analysis covered more than 124,000 service members and veterans. What surprised you most when you looked at the dropout pattern across these various therapies?
We found that overall, across all of those treatments, about 1 in 4 service members and veterans will drop out prematurely. But actually, when you look at the type of things that folks are doing in therapy and the treatments that they're using, there's quite a bit of variability between how frequently people will drop out in those different interventions. There's a lot of research and reports from clients and therapists that there are some approaches that might be particularly difficult to engage in, which we refer to as trauma-focused treatments. And those require some way of reliving or thinking about or reenacting aspects of the trauma that you've gone through. And there's a lot of evidence that those can be really difficult for veterans and service members to engage with. But it turns out that that story is much more nuanced than that. And there are some treatments that we often use where those are resulting in quite high dropout rates when they're done on a week-to-week basis, where, for example, there's a 40% dropout rate in cognitive processing therapy and 35% dropout rate in prolonged exposure therapy. But actually, when we looked at what happens when you take those treatments and package them into more intensive formats, those dropout rates were among some of the lowest that we found. So there's something there where it matters what you're doing in therapy, but there's also some importance in terms of who's doing that therapy and what that packaging is like.
Of course, behind those numbers are real people and real stories. From a practical standpoint, what does dropping out of treatment often mean for a veteran's mental health and daily life?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of distress and perhaps grief when you're not able to do the things that you set out to do by coming to therapy. Oftentimes, it can be really intimidating to go to therapy in the first place at the risk of maybe being worried about what other people think about you, or maybe being worried about what that means for your job and service members. And so when you end up dropping out, that can feel like there's something that you maybe did wrong, or maybe you feel like folks can't help you, especially if you've had maybe an experience where you don't have a good fit with a therapist and you're not able to do the things that you wanted to in therapy because it wasn't a good fit.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Elizabeth Penick Smith. She's a licensed clinical psychologist from Idaho State University and a National Research Council fellow at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research. And we're talking about a study she conducted that examined PTSD therapies for veterans and why dropout rates vary between those various forms of treatment. Some of the most widely used and effective PTSD treatments, some are called prolonged exposure or cognitive processing therapy, have the highest dropout rates. Briefly, can you explain what those therapies are and why do you think that dropout rate is so high?
One way that I like to think about these is a little bit like going to physical therapy for a broken arm. That's a really painful experience, and oftentimes when you're starting out in physical therapy, they're going to work with you on coming with small steps to start working towards recovering. But at the same time, as you do that, it can be uncomfortable, it can be distressing, it can be painful. And even though that is part of the process, it's still difficult. And as you continue with that treatment, that lessens as you recover. But that part of cognitive processing therapy and prolonged exposure therapy where folks have to re-engage with either memories or maybe thinking patterns that they've experienced after their trauma experience can be like having to start moving that broken arm again where it's very painful and very difficult to engage with. And I think there's a lot of reasons why these can be really difficult to engage with. One is just distressing to have to relive the worst moments of your lives in general. Oftentimes, service members are asked to go through horrific events as a part of their job, and that can have a really lasting impact on your beliefs about yourself, about others, about the world, and that can make it really hard to engage with or even trust a therapist with those experiences. We also know that service members and veterans are very busy populations, and there's a lot of pieces that come into play where they have tasks that they need to do, and it makes it hard to actually go to therapy. And that piece ends up being really important, especially for service members.
You also found dramatically lower dropout rates in intensive outpatient and group-based exposure therapies. What's happening in those settings that seems to keep veterans engaged?
There are several theories or there are several reasons why that might be lower based on some of the existing literature. And some of it is also speculation at this point. But for intensive formats, that might be because you are dedicating a set period of time, usually a week, maybe 2 weeks, to really just focus on healing and recovering. And there's often elements of maybe other skills for managing distress, or maybe there's other activities that are involved in those intensive formats that may really keep you engaged in that experience. Sometimes those treatments also involve going to maybe another large city and actually living there. And oftentimes it's harder for folks to just leave after they've already set that time and those resources aside to engage in that. And also that helps with having that be accessible and preventing some of those other things with maybe family or work getting in the way. For the group-based exposure therapy, we're not exactly sure what that might be, but some possibilities. That particular treatment approach involves connecting with others, and it specifically emphasizes it and reaching out and connecting. And I think that's a really critical piece that is important, and you're working on reconnecting with others who might actually share some of your experiences. It also acknowledges how folks' experiences might change their views of the world, which we refer to as moral injury. And that is a really important piece when you've gone through something that is so painful and so horrible that it really violates your sense of what's right or good or what's moral or correct in those situations and what should have happened. So there's some pieces with connection and really honoring the fact that veterans and service members go through these types of experiences that could be helping with engagement in that group-based exposure therapy treatment.
I understand that PTSD doesn't just affect mental health. It's linked to higher risks of heart disease and stroke. How does staying in treatment impact veterans' long-term physical health?
We know that some of that link with mental health symptoms, including PTSD and how that affects physical health, is bidirectional. Sometimes when you're able to go to therapy and do the things that you used to, or maybe go out in settings like going for a run, that can really facilitate working on your physical health when you're able to work through those PTSD symptoms. There's also definitely a toll that trauma takes on your nervous system that can play an important role in why those symptoms start to translate to physical symptoms as well. And of course, there's a other way around where sometimes your physical health also impacts your mental health too. So it's certainly a very complicated relationship between PTSD and physical health.
Finally, Professor, for veterans listening who may have quit therapy before, or maybe they're reluctant to start, what message do you want them to hear from this study?
I hope that they hear that we care about their experiences in trauma treatment and are working on being better. I would encourage them to maybe try again. And if they find that the person that they start working with doesn't get it or doesn't feel like a good fit, it's okay to talk to them about it and say, like, hey, this isn't working for me and I'd really like to work with someone else. That's okay. And sometimes it takes a few times to find a fit that actually works for you. So my hope is that they know that we care and that there's many options for treatment out there that can meet them where they're at and be a better fit.
Licensed clinical psychologist Elizabeth Penick Smith from Idaho State University and the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research. Professor, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.